Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to be here today. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Our text this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read eight verses this morning. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me as to one abnormally born. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the proclamation of His word. I heard about a family who moved to Phoenix, Arizona, and they had a pet Doberman. Dobermans are known sometimes to be fierce, but this Doberman was just a big teddy bear, but the neighbors were still suspicious, so they kept him pinned and just took extra precautions. Well, one day, the worst thing imaginable that could happened. The owner of the Doberman looked out. She heard a commotion in her yard, and she rushed over to see her pet Doberman with the neighbor's pet rabbit in his teeth, shaking it back and forth. Well, she ran out to rescue the poor rabbit, but it was too late. The rabbit was dead, and so she said, "Oh no, what am I going to do? My neighbors are already afraid of our dog. Now it's going to be worse." And so she had an idea. She took the lifeless rabbit into her home, and she washed all the blood and mud off of him. And then he still looked kind of weird, and so she took out her blow dryer, and she blow dried the rabbit, and fluffed him up, and he looked pretty good and looked like a healthy rabbit. She took him over and she snuck him into the neighbor's backyard. She slipped the rabbit into its hutch and propped it up with his ears perked, looked alive. She then went home and waited to see what would happen. Well, it wasn't long before she heard a scream. She went over to her neighbor's backyard, and there was her neighbor crying and screaming and pointing at the rabbit. And so in her most comforting voice, she said, what's the matter? Did your rabbit die? The lady said, no, that's not why I'm upset. The woman pointed to the rabbit and said, that rabbit died 3 days ago, and my husband buried him, and there he is alive again. Well, I don't think that was maybe as shocking as the story about a man named Dexter Howard. No, Walter Williams. Walter Williams was on hospice care, and a nurse called to tell them that he had passed away. And they called the county coroner, Dexter Howard, and told him to come and get him. And so Dexter and a man, Byron Porter, from a funeral home, came to pick up Walter Williams. And they got there, they checked his pulse. He was dead. They put him in a body bag and began to take him back to the funeral home. Well, when they got into the funeral home, they noticed something strange was happening. The body bag moved. They got him in the embalming room, and they noticed his legs begin moving, and then they noticed that he was breathing. Well, they immediately called an ambulance, and paramedics came, and they hooked up Walter Williams, and he, sure enough, he had a heartbeat, and so they transported him to the hospital. And so the county coroner was in shock. He wasn't a doctor in a lot of small southern communities. You don't have to be a doctor to be a county coroner. He was actually elected. But he said that in his 12 years as county coroner, or his decade as deputy county coroner, he'd never seen anything like it. Because he said, I was sure he was dead. And he said the only reasonable explanation that he could think of was that William's defibrillator implanted beneath the skin of his chest jump-started his heart after he was placed on a body bag. He said it could have kick-started his heart back. Well, I'm sure that was a shocker. Well, they put Jesus in a borrowed tomb, and they didn't expect to see him alive again. Jesus, however, did not get washed up and blow-dried and propped up in his grave. Jesus did not have a defibrillator simply kick in to restart his life, and then later to die again. That's what happened to Walter Williams. He died a few days after they took him to the hospital. Jesus broke the hold of death forever by physically, bodily, literally rising from the grave, never to die again. His owner, his disciples may have been as shocked as the rabbit owner was, or Dexter Howard, the coroner, was, but they shouldn't have been, because Jesus said, they're going to crucify me, they're going to put me in a tomb, and I'm going to rise again. And he did rise from the grave, never to die again. He kicked death, I don't even know how to say it. He destroyed death, never to die again, and he lives forevermore, and I'm telling you, one day he's going to come back too. One day he's going to come back. It may have looked bad on Friday, but Sunday was here and the chains of death were broken because Jesus broke them. He ripped the gates of death off its hinges so that everyone who will believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. He came to save sinners just like you and me. We might think our sin is bad, or we might think it's not that bad, but we're all sinners and we all need a Savior. And there's not a sinner, no matter what you've done, no matter what kind of life you've had, there's not a sinner that he will not save if you will believe in him and put your trust in him. And you don't have to get cleaned up, and you don't have to change your life around. You got to want that to happen, but I discovered I don't have the power to change my life. It's only when Jesus came into my life, he gave me the power to live the way that he wants me to live. And it's not because I live that way that he saved me. He saved me because I was a sinner, and he changes me, and he continues to change me. He is the God who can do anything. If Christ has risen from the dead, there's not a life that he can't change. There's nothing that he can't do, and he has risen from the grave. All of Christianity hinges on the resurrection of Jesus. All of it. Because he rose from the grave, we have a sure foundation. Because he rose from the grave, we see that his atoning death was accepted by the Father. His dying in our place, that whoever believes in him won't have to pay for their own sins because Jesus paid for them on the cross for them. Because he rose from the grave, we have greatest evidence for God's power. If God can bring a man back to life, then there's nothing that he can't do. If you can believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, there's no part of the Bible that's hard for you to believe in. Because he arose from the dead, we know his kingdom has come and is coming. Because Jesus rose from the dead, when we believe in him, we know that we will one day also conquer the grave and rise again. We have a sure hope of eternal life because Jesus rose from the dead. Because he rose from the dead, the scripture tells us, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. He's praying for you and me even now for all who believe. Because he rose from the dead, we know Jesus, everything that Jesus said about himself is true, that he truly is God. You see, you can only conclude three things about Jesus. You can conclude that he was a lunatic. If we're studying the Gospel of John in our small group on Saturday morning, Jesus made audacious claims. And if what he said wasn't true, then he was crazy. Or you can assume that he just lied. He just lied to all of us if he didn't rise from the grave. But if he did rise from the grave, he is Lord, and you need to confess him as Lord and believe in him as Lord. You need to believe in him as Lord. I need to believe in his Lord. You see, Christ's resurrection provides the sure foundation for our faith. In 1 Corinthians 15... Paul is addressing some people who do not believe in the physical resurrection of the body. And he helps us to see how important it is to understand and believe in not only Jesus' resurrection, but one day our resurrection from the grave. That he will one day we will physically rise from the grave. And so there's just a couple of things I want to point out to you this morning from the verses that I read from 1 Corinthians 15. First of all, true faith in the resurrection of Jesus is an enduring thing. It endures. Paul reminded the Christians in Corinth of the gospel he preached. He said, "This is what happened. I preached this gospel to you. You received it, and you have taken your stand in it." Paul preached it, they received it, and they stand in it. For the gospel to be... Boy, where is this coming from today? For the gospel to save, it has to be preached and received and stood in. This is the order for every believer. But there's a counterfeit faith, a vain faith, that the Scripture warns us about. It tells us, don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. James 2 tells us, you believe there's one God? Even the demons believe and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? And Paul was talking to the Corinthians, who some maybe had a counterfeit faith. They said they believed in Jesus, but they denied bodily resurrection. And it just doesn't work that way. In Corinth, a lot of people believed in the afterlife. We live in a world where a lot of people believe in the afterlife. In Corinth, they believed the body was evil and mortal, but the spirit was good and immortal, and the spirit lived on after death. You know, your spirit goes to some next life. Whatever that might be. But your body just turns back to dust. A lot of people believe the same thing. They believe that in the spiritualness of whatever they believe. You know, you're going to go back into the eons, or going to be recycled, or whatever it is they believe. But they believe the body was bad and it was going to be destroyed. That idea is not biblical. It's not Christian, because the Bible teaches when Jesus comes to redeem us, he comes to redeem all of us, body, soul, and spirit, every part of us. And part of his redemption is the redemption of the body. Redemption of the body. The Bible teaches everything is messed up outside of Jesus, not just our bodies, but our minds, our spirits, our souls. Everything about us is messed up outside of Jesus. And when we believe in him, he begins to redeem every single part of us, body, soul, spirit, our minds, every part of us. See, the Corinthian Christians, they wanted to be politically correct and just say, well, a man's spirit lives forever. And they denied that there was going to be a bodily resurrection where God would redeem even our earthly bodies. But in denying the bodily resurrection of believers, they were logically denying the bodily resurrection of Jesus. And if you don't have a bodily resurrection of Jesus, there's no hope for any of us. That's a vain faith, a false faith, a dead faith, and it makes no difference in a life. When you deny the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus, you don't have faith. I don't know what you're believing in, but it's not the Jesus that saves us from our sin. True faith changes lives. It never ends. It has a beginning and it goes on. The Scripture says he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. The Scripture says if any man is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. You see, faith, when you believe in Jesus, he begins to change your life. Now, that's not all at once. And none of us are all changed into everything we want to be. I wish I was changed to the point where I never messed up again, but I can maybe tell you that, but Carla knows the truth, you know. But he does begin to change us. He begins to change us when we believe and trust in him. Faith in the Jesus of the Bible is a powerful thing. It can free the addict. Save the sinner. It's a powerful thing, faith in Jesus. And so, denying the bodily resurrection was literally denying the very power of God. You see, if you ever encounter Christ, you're not going to get away from him. The Scripture says, whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. You see, when Christ comes in, he begins to change. Now, that doesn't mean you can't fall away and you can't backslide. Most of us have backslidden, and most of us have doubted at times in our life. But God, if he really began the work in you, he will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And you can be assured of that. We were talking yesterday in our small group. You know, God wants you to know that you have eternal life. These things are written to you, believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You see, Bob Ray's eternal life is not based on Bob Ray. It's based on what Jesus did for me. And I know I have eternal life. And it's not because I'm good, because I'm not. It's because he's good. And he paid the penalty for my sins. And my confidence is in him. Faith makes a difference in life. It changes you. I grew up in Oklahoma. And there are evangelicals everywhere in Oklahoma. I mean, there are Baptists everywhere in Oklahoma, much less other evangelical people who preach the gospel. And I would talk to people about believing in Jesus, about trusting in him. And they'd say, oh, yeah, I've been saved. I walked down the aisle when I was a kid. You know, I went to some Baptist church and prayed with a preacher one time, but there was no real evidence of devotion to Christ. They didn't care a thing about the things of the Lord. It didn't bother them, the things that they were doing that they shouldn't have been doing. You know, one of the evidences that you believe is that you're bothered when you do wrong. Do you realize that? People that don't know Jesus, they have a conscience, and after a while your conscience can become seared, but when it bothers you and you do wrong and you will say, I wish I hadn't done that, that's an evidence of faith. You see, there's got to be some evidence of faith as your devotion to Christ. It's not a vain thing. It's not a powerless thing. Because when Christ enters a life, he begins to change that life. When you are truly a believer, you'll never escape his pull, his pruning, his discipline, his love, his encouragement, his power. You belong to him because he bought you with his blood, and he will conform you to the image of Jesus. And when you are not doing what he wants you to do, I tell you, he will make you a miserable human being. I'm not saying there won't be times of doubt or straying, but that's not going to be the uninterrupted habit of your life. Make sure your faith and your trust is in Jesus. You know, a lot of people they're not trusting in Jesus, they're trusting in being baptized. They're trusting in walking down the aisle of a church somewhere. They're trusting that their mother was a good Christian, and so they think they are. I'm trusting in what Jesus did for me. That's what a Christian does, and what Jesus does. Hey, Bob Ray could never make it on his own. If I got what I deserved, I'd be eternally separated from God. God doesn't give me what I deserve. He loves me and he offers me salvation through Jesus, and I believe and I'm trusting in him. And if you believe and you trust in Jesus, salvation begins that very moment that you trust. You don't have to wait. You don't have to get your life cleaned up. Put your faith in Jesus right now. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. I belong to you. I want to follow you. Believe in him. Believe in him. True faith in the resurrection of Jesus endures. There's something else I want to point out to you from this passage of Scripture, these few verses I read. True faith in the resurrection of Jesus needs to remain fixed on the essentials. Now, Paul said, what I received, I passed on to you. Paul received it from God, and he's passing on God's truth to them and to us. The truth of the resurrection, he says, is of first importance. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Some truths of the Christian life, some truths of faith are more important than other truths. Not every teaching or doctrine of Christianity is of equal importance. And Christians get in trouble when they make the things that aren't that important, they build them as walls between other brothers who disagree with them. The thing that is essential is Jesus and all that he's done, his death and his resurrection. That is of first importance. And so to believe and hold on to that is essential. Not every teaching of Christianity is essential. It's not as important. What you believe about the Lord's Supper might be different from another Christian. That doesn't mean they aren't a Christian. What you believe about baptism, how it's administered, and who is to be baptized is important. I'm a Baptist. If I didn't think it was important, I'd be something else. I believe in believer's baptism. But I don't believe that those who disagree with me are not Christians because they don't accept my understanding of believer's baptism. I think they probably need to study the scripture a little closer, but that's another question, you know. Sincere Christians have a different understanding of election and free will and how it fits into God's sovereignty. That's the kind of discussion that we are in our world. You know, we can't all be right like I am, so you maybe don't agree with me on all of that. But I want to tell you, what you believe about the resurrection of Jesus is of first importance. Christ died for our sins. He died in our place, taking our punishment upon himself. He was stone cold dead when they took his body out to the grave and put him in that borrowed grave that belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. He was buried and he came out of that grave, literally, bodily, physically, rising from the grave. And if you reject the truths of Jesus' death and his bodily resurrection, you're outside the family of God. Everything hinges on the belief in the resurrection. Everything. The scripture says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everything hinges on the belief in the resurrection. Man needs a Savior, and God provided only one in Jesus who died for our sins and rose again. There will not be another Savior given. And so if you want eternal life, you have to believe in him. You have to trust and believe in the resurrection. His resurrection provides the only hope for mankind. I remember years ago talking to a group of pastors from many denominations about the essentials of the Christian faith. And some of them were sharing how they went to seminaries and that in some of their seminaries, there were liberal professors who did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Well, when I heard this, I said very nicely, of course, those professors aren't liberal, they're lost. And I wasn't being, I was being a little bit sarcastic, but what I was saying is absolutely true. You deny the resurrection, and you're lost. Albert Mohler talked about the exclusivity of Jesus about a year or so ago, and he said, if all we need is a teacher of enlightenment, the Buddha will do. If all we need is a collection of gods for every occasion and need and hope, Hinduism will do. If all we need is a tribal deity, then any tribal deity will do. If all we need is a lawgiver, Moses will do. If all we need is a set of rules and a way of devotion, Muhammad or Joseph Smith will do. If all we need is inspiration and insight into the sovereign self for crying out loud, Oprah will do. But if we need a Savior, only Jesus will do. Jesus arose from the grave, and the scripture says he appeared to Peter. Then he appeared to the 12. Then more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. The scripture says he appeared to James. Who's the James it's talking about? It was actually his half-brother, a son of Mary and Joseph. He appeared to him, and James came to faith. He wrote one of the books of the Bible, the book of James. And then Paul finally says, he appeared to me as one abnormally born. Now, Paul's not trying to list a comprehensive, list of resurrection appearances, but he's listing some of the most important appearances. And he's saying to people, remain fixed on the essentials. Don't get caught up in every religious fad that comes along. The resurrection is one of the essentials. Of the 260 chapters in the New Testament, 104 of them mention the resurrection of Jesus. There are 13 sermons in Acts, and every single one of them mentioned the resurrection of Jesus. So proclaim and hold on to this essential truth. It is of first importance. Have you ever seen the old TV series Green Acres? I mean, if you got MTV, it's running even now. Old television series never die, they just go on MTV, I guess. But anyway, he would come to Mr. Douglas and he would have some important agricultural news thing that he was supposed to be sharing with him. But in sharing, in coming and sharing whatever message that he had, he'd always get sidetracked, and it would take him forever if he got around to it to get to the purpose of his visit. You ever known someone that can't get to the point? They can't get to the point. It takes them forever to tell even the simplest stories, but they get sidetracked by the details. You know, I think sometimes we as Christians have gotten sidetracked by the minutiae, by the details. Don't get sidetracked by all the details of the Gospels, by all the hows and whys. This is the Gospel. You know, the world doesn't know what the Gospel is. They think the Gospel is getting a new Cadillac or something like that. That's not what the Gospel is. This is the Gospel. God became a human being in the person of Jesus Christ. He lived a sinless life. He died for our sins in our place on the cross. The punishment that we deserved, He took on the cross when He was nailed to the cross. He was buried, stone cold dead. He rose from the grave, never to die again. We must believe in Him because He is coming back, and apart from Him, there is no salvation. That's the Gospel. Now, I'm not saying other things aren't important, but the Gospel, Jesus saves. It's not your orthodoxy that saves you, it's Jesus. Your trust must be in Him. True faith in the resurrection of Jesus remains fixed on the essentials. I used to love to listen to Paul Harvey. Every day at noon, I'd listen to Paul Harvey. He's been gone maybe, has it been 10 years? Maybe more than that, I don't know. But every day at noon, I'd listen to Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey would tell the story around Easter of a Sunday school teacher who had a class, I think, of 8-year-olds. And one of the children in the class was Philip, and Philip had Down syndrome. And he was always being made fun of by the others in the class. And, she did her best to love him and to minister to him. One Sunday, she gave near Easter, she gave the children some empty plastic eggs. And she said, go outside and find signs of life and put them in the egg. Well, soon they returned. One of the children put a butterfly in this large egg. Another put an ant. Some put flowers or twigs or blades of grass. But in one egg, it came back and it was empty. All the kids knew who it belonged to Philip, and they began to laugh and make fun of him and, make disparaging remarks. And the teacher said to Philip, Philip, why didn't you put anything in the egg? And Philip simply said, because the tomb was empty. Wow. Taught them a lesson and us a lesson, didn't he? Not long after that, it said that Philip died. And at his funeral, he was presented a gift of love from 9 of his 8-year-old Sunday school classmates. He was presented an empty egg. Now, why are we here today? We're here because Jesus lives. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, let's go home and go to Buffalo Wild Wings and eat. I mean, it's as simple as that. We're here because Jesus rose. You know, I was thinking about what to put on Facebook. You know, got to put something on Facebook every once in a while. And I promise you, as your pastor, I won't put anything on Facebook to embarrass you, okay? I won't do that. I know plenty of guys that do, so I've learned from working with lots of pastors. But anyway. But I'm thinking, what do you put on Facebook, you know? And my good friend, you know, Leo Endo, he put, he is risen. And you know, it's really kind of the universal cry of the church, he is risen, and the church replies, he is risen indeed. And I thought, what clever thing could you put on Facebook on Easter besides he is risen? And then I thought, there's nothing that you could have put on Facebook that's cleverer, that's smarter, that's more appropriate than He is risen. Because that's all that matters in the end. He is risen. He does give life. He does save. There's nobody beyond His touch. You might think, man, my life is so messed up. I am beyond the touch of God. I want to tell you, He wants to touch you and change you and save you. And you don't have to wait until you get all cleaned up. You can say, Jesus, save me now. And I tell you, He will. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. He is that kind of God. And you won't be perfect after that either, but He'll change you and He'll begin to make you into what He wants you to be. I'm telling you, Jesus has the power to save. And He still saves and He still changes lives. And He did rise from the grave. And I only want to say one day He's coming back. And I'm not talking about some spiritual thing either. The Scripture says every eye will see Him. You might say, you're crazy. Well, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd probably think I was crazy too. But I'm not crazy because I'm telling you the truth. He's coming back. You can trust in Him. Some people, maybe you're looking for someone to believe in, someone to trust. You've not been able to trust anything or anyone in your life. Maybe you couldn't trust your parents. Maybe you couldn't trust your friends or your brothers and your sisters or your employers. I'm telling you, Jesus will not fail you. You can't really even trust the church. Have you ever been hurt by the church? Well, if you haven't been, you haven't been with the church very long, because most of us who've been around a while have been hurt every once in a while by other believers. But I'm telling you, it's not Jesus' fault. You can trust in Him. Because He lives, Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, life is worth the living because He lives. Father, we thank You. That You live. Lord, not only that You live, but You died for us, Jesus. Why would You do it? Why would You die for me? I just want to thank You that You did. And that You died for not just me, but Lord, You love the world, and there's not a person in this place that You don't love and You don't want to save. And I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't believe in You, Jesus, I pray that today they'd say, yes, Jesus, I receive You, I believe in You. From this point on, I want to follow You. I won't do it perfectly, but I want to begin to follow You. Help me, Lord, because if they pray and believe, You will save. Lord, we praise You. Lord, sometimes it looks like the bad guys are winning, but Lord, Jesus, You already won. Lord, You conquered death, and there's nothing else that ultimately will not be under Your authority and Your control. Everything is under Your control now. But Lord, one day You'll do away with evil completely. And this world will be restored to what it was meant to be in the first place. Lord, we praise You for this. Lord, I pray for someone that just, they need something to believe in. Lord, they need someone to trust. I pray today that You would speak to them and open their eyes and help them to know they can put their trust in You and You will never fail them. I ask You to work and move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.